Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
We do have plenty of open lines right now, and we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. Freedom has been our topic this month.
Yes.
We've covered it from quite a number of angles. Today I'm going to make a little shift and ask this question: what does freedom look like in the midst of trials and tribulations? Jesus told us that in this world we're going to experience trials and tribulations, and I have yet to meet the person that has escaped trials and tribulations.
It's true.
They come at us like waves to the shore, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
We may have some times of clear sailing and things seem to be smooth and life is just flowing, and then that doesn't last long. There's another trial, another obstacle, another problem that needs to be solved. And what does freedom look like in the midst of that? We've been set free. What does freedom allow us to do in the midst of our trials? And I think freedom allows us to trust the Lord and to ask some questions. One of those questions is this: is Jesus enough? And I think in each and every trial that we encounter in life, I think that's one of the questions that we need to raise. Is Jesus enough?
Yes.
And our freedom in Christ allows us to raise that question and to ask it. And when we ask it, that's when the Lord says, yes. Yes, he is enough, not only for all the trials that you've been through in the past, he's enough for this one that you're going through right now. And sometimes we doubt that. Sometimes we don't think that's true. And when we don't think it's true, we take things upon ourselves, or we look to worldly solutions to try to get out of the messes that we're in. But those don't work. So we have to come back and we have to ask this question: is Jesus enough? And so freedom in the midst of trials and tribulations looks like that. It looks like people asking that question of Christ: are you enough? Is your grace sufficient enough for me? And then when we hear the answer yes, then we can do as James said, count it all joy. Not a single one of us, when a trial hits us right in the face, stops and considers it all joy until we realize that Jesus is enough. And when we realize that Jesus is enough, then we can count that trial as joy, because we know that God has something for us in the midst of it.
Yes.
That's good news.
It sure is.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper today. We welcome you to the broadcast. You can join us by simply calling 844-322-2742. We would love to know what's on your mind, what questions that you might have, if they're biblical in nature, if they're personal in nature. We would love to have the opportunity to point you into the Word of God.
Yes.
To help inject some hope into whatever situation that you're experiencing today, whatever trial that you may be encountering. So again, that number, 844-322-2742. Well, let's start in Ringo, Georgia today and talk to Calvin. Hi, Calvin. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey guys. Great to hear from you. I'm guess I'm more or less like a tornado. I am all twisted up. I don't know. Well, I know I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know what he died on the cross for my sins, to be rose again so that I would have life. Okay. I'm having a lot of experience with anxiety, because I know when my life is over, I know where I'm going. I know I'm going to heaven, but I have that fear of dying. And now that I have that fear of dying, then it's like I can't. Then I test myself: are you truly saved? if he was truly saved, then why are you feared of dying? So therefore, here the last 3 or 4 years, I have really been reading my Bible again and praying to God daily to help me overcome this anxiety, this evil spirit I'm having in my mind. And I'm searching so hard for the Holy Spirit, but it's like I'm fighting against the Holy Spirit because I keep living my life. You know, you keep sinning the same old sins over and over. God is not going to let the Holy Spirit get reared up in your soul because of your sinning you're doing. I'm just like a tornado here. Can you help me?
Well, Calvin, I think I can, and I want to take you right back to the cross of Jesus Christ. You sound a lot like I was years ago. You're wanting to experience victory in life. You're wanting to break free from those sins that keep, a tight grip on your life right now. And I struggled, and I gave it my all to break free, to become the guy that I thought God wanted me to be. And I kept falling flat on my face until I finally just threw up my hands in frustration and say, I give up. And it was in that giving up that the Holy Spirit began to teach me some truth. And the first truth that he taught me was this, that all my sins had been forgiven by Christ Jesus. That what I was seeking from him, I already had. That was good news. I mean, that was liberating news. I was one of these guys that every time I sinned, I would confess that sin. I would ask God to forgive that sin. And after a while of confessing the same sin time and time again, I got to the point that you were, Calvin. I thought I wasn't even saved, that Christ had left me. So I would ask him to come back into my heart. So I must have prayed to receive Christ, 500 times or more during about an 8-year period. And finally, after giving up, I learned some truth. And that truth is found in the book of Colossians. This is the passage that changed my life. It's in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Well, I'll start in verse 9, and it says this, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." That word fullness also means completeness. You have been made complete in Christ. You lack absolutely nothing. And then it goes on to say, "In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the flesh, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead." And he goes on to say, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins." And it was that little phrase, that last phrase, "He forgave us all our sins," that made all the difference at that particular time in my life. And Calvin, I think that's where you need to start. I think you need to realize that the shed blood of Jesus Christ took away your sins once and for all. There was not one single sin that Jesus did not see of yours when he was on that cross. And there was not one single sin that you have committed or will commit that he did not take away from you and put on himself and suffer the punishment from God. Death, physical death. He died in your place. And as a result of that sacrifice, he declares this, that your sins are forgiven. That's good news, isn't it, Calvin?
That's excellent news. And like I said, Bob, I truly believe, there ain't a doubt in my mind that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. But it's like I'm searching and hunger for so much more that I want to see. I don't know if that's my flame has died down because the way I've been living. And it's like I want to so much just like reach out and touch the Holy Spirit. I want to be that close. But then I keep fighting this battle with sin, and it's like And now I have these anxiety attacks from it. Says, well, you know, and I know what you're saying, that, you know, God died for sin. Wash that away. And I guess that you either accept it, and that's what gives you peace. Am I correct?
That's exactly right. So, Calvin, here's the deal for you. You've got an accuser. You have an enemy. He's going to bring up all kinds of thoughts, yes, accusations into your mind. And when those accusations come, I want you to stop, and I want you to say to the Lord, thank you that you took away my sins in Christ once and for all, and that in him I am a forgiven person. Will you do that?
Yes, sir, I will.
Okay.
Yes, sir, I will. And I know the Holy Spirit keeps talking to me, Bob, because he says to me, Kevin, what if something happens to you? Then you're in the hands of the Father. What else is there?
And that's,
I mean, there's nothing here in life to hold you here.
Yeah. So count that as confirmation.
Yes.
You want to draw close to the Holy Spirit. Well, why don't you rest in the fact that the Holy Spirit is alive, living in you?
Yeah, can't get any closer than that.
That's pretty good news. And the fact that he is speaking and bringing your mind back to truth, look at that as confirmation that you truly belong to God, that you're one of his, that you are a child of God. And again, let that heart overflow with gratitude. So every time you hear one of those accusations, every time one of those doubtful thoughts come into your mind, let that be a reminder to you to kneel down or whatever is comfortable for you and simply say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you took my sins once and for all, and that in you I am a forgiven person. Thank you for forgiving my sins. And I think that's going to be the door for you that opens up the grace of God and the life of Christ to you in new and fresh ways. And I think you'll be absolutely amazed.
Well, I thank you, Bob. And like I said, it's kind of crazy because I am witnessing for him every time I turn around. It's like and then I question my Holy Spirit. But my Holy Spirit, every time I get around somebody, I witness about my salvation to someone, hoping someone else can get it. You know, if that ain't the Holy Spirit in me, there's no such thing, true?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, Calvin, let me do this. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I think it will be a big help to you and kind of an encouragement. I think you will, I know you will identify with some of the stories in there because I'm identifying with what you're sharing today. I think we were on the same page. So let me send it to you and read through it and then call us back, okay?
Bob, if you don't care, and this is a joke, send your phone number in it where I can talk to you on a personal basis.
All right, I'll do it. You hang on.
And I thank you, Bob.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Hey, thanks for your call, Calvin. Hang on. Well, what a great call.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I appreciate his honesty.
Yes.
When people are honest, then you can deal with things. That's the Spirit. When you don't have the Spirit, you're always making excuses.
Yeah.
But when the Spirit's talking to you, you're able to say, you know, I'm just confused. I need some help. And that's great stuff.
Absolutely. And as Calvin was sharing his story, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, that's the first chapter of this book. That's
yes.
Exactly where I was. That was my struggle. That was my frustration. And I'm so grateful to find answers. And I know Calvin is fully alive in Christ. The Holy Spirit is living in him. And it's obvious that the Holy Spirit is already doing a work there.
Yes.
And that was his promise. And that is his promise. And we can count on that. Speaking of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, it's, today was the day that Amazon had the book available in stock for people. Many people had pre-ordered it through Amazon, and so they were going to ship it out today. And I think there's been a lot of activity and moving it up the charts, and that's kind of cool to see. But we're excited about that.
Indeed.
We're excited that this book is getting out there. And thank you to our listeners for responding and making that happen. But the book is available through us, through Amazon, through Barnes & Noble, through several several other retailers, and we just encourage you to get out there and get a copy. We would greatly appreciate it. You can find out how to do that by going to simplegospelsimplygrace.com.
Yes.
Simplegospelsimplygrace.com. All the ordering information is right there. If you want to order the Kindle version, there's a tab you click. If you want to order from Amazon, there's a tab you click. If Barnes & Noble is your preferred store, there's a tab you can click there. So just go to simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Well, let's go to Wayne listening to us in New Jersey on WMCA.
Hey,
hi, Wayne.
Lord, Brother Bob. How you doing? Praise the Lord.
Welcome.
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23 says, no longer drink of water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. What I'm going to say is it wrong to drink beer or wine?
Well, Wayne, there's no prohibition in the Word of God. The only thing the Word of God says is don't be drunk on wine. Or don't be drunk right. on strong drink. We see some admonitions like that in the Old Testament. And the reason is because we do dumb things when we're drunk.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of people saying amen to that. We just don't have our full faculties when we're under the influence of alcohol, and our decision making
right.
is not very good at all, and we make right. ourselves vulnerable to the temptations of this world and the desires of the flesh. So God says keep your mind in full capacity. Let it be controlled by the Spirit of God. That's the admonition in the New Testament. There's the great verse in Ephesians chapter 5 that says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that word, don't get drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit, that word to be filled simply means to be controlled by. And so we can either give ourselves over to alcohol or to some other substance, or we can give ourselves over to the one who loves us and gave himself for us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Right. But to get the understanding, you have to use your discretion when you take a little wine or whatever it is. Is that correct?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, it's there's nothing that would say you can't have a beer or a glass of wine or anything like that. There's no prohibition against drinking alcohol in the Bible. But there's lots of warnings as to what getting drunk can do. And there's this passage that says, do not get drunk on wine. Rather, be filled with the Spirit of God. And if you're filled with the Spirit of God, then you're filled with an understanding and a heartfelt experience of the love of God. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And when we're filled with that heartfelt experience of the love of God, we are going to consider others more highly than we consider ourselves. When we're drunk, we don't think about other people. We think about ourselves. See the big difference?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Wayne, if in your situation you say, hey, I don't think it's wise for me to drink at all, man, praise the Lord, Wayne. That is a fantastic decision. And I think it's an incredibly wise decision. Others might say, hey, I like a glass of wine every now and then, and I'm going to drink a glass of wine. But it's not front and center in my life.
Yeah.
In this world that we live in today, alcohol is front and center in about 85% of the people's lives out there. All they talk, I've gone to malls and restaurants and those sort of things, and I've just opened my ears to listen in on what people are saying, what type of conversations. And it's just amazing how much alcohol enters into the conversations of people in this country. If that is the center of their very lives. Well, when a person makes alcohol the center of their lives, boy, they're missing a lot in life. Jesus Christ has changed our hearts in such a way that he has become the center of our lives, the center of our affections and desires and wants and longings. And I think that's important for us to recognize that in Christ, our hearts have been turned toward him. And that's good news, isn't it?
Yes, Bob. Yes, it's very good. Can you do me a favor? Well, when you get a chance, I want to give you my email, because I didn't get a chance to email you about these questions before. When evil came from, who created the evil? If the devil is a co-creator with God.
Well, Wayne, I can answer that real quickly, and then I'll put you on hold, and we can get some contact information from you, and we can carry on an email dialogue. Would love to do that. As far as evil, evil is not a thing that was created. Evil is merely a perversion of good. Satan was not a co-creator with God. He doesn't have those powers. God created. God opened his mouth and spoke things into existence. Jesus was with God and is God. And in the New Testament, he is shown to be creator as well. Satan is not a creator. He simply takes the things that God has made and perverts them for his own use. And that's what evil is. It is a perversion of good. So it's not a thing that was created. It was a perversion of what was created. And Satan is the master at perversion. And so he tries to move our minds, pervert our minds, and move it away from truth onto his deceitful lies. And that is really the root of what evil is. But Wayne, let me put you on hold, and we will get your contact information. Sure, appreciate your call. You hang on. Well, let's go quickly to Anthony in Tyler, Texas. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, this was actually a complete random happening. I just happened to be in range for the station, and I had to call after I heard, I believe his name was Calvin, he called in earlier, and I was hoping to offer just a quick blurb of, because I asked the same question of somebody important to me before, and he gave me advice I'd never forget.
Okay.
My grandfather was a Green Beret, and I was a young kid asking him about the war because he was in Vietnam, and he's a very Christian man, or he was. And I asked him, if he had ever been afraid of death, and he he told me that Christ died on a cross to give us a good life here, now, and later on. And I was hoping to tell Calvin that what he told me is that if you don't fear death, if you don't fear dying, then you'll never truly appreciate what Christ has given you here, now, or later.
Yeah, well, Anthony, those are good words. I mean, we all by nature are fearful of death. We were in bondage to that fear, and Jesus Christ is the one that breaks us out of it through his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, Anthony, I'm sure glad you tuned in. Thanks for your call today. We greatly appreciate it. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you some information about Basic Gospel. Would love to tell you a little bit more about what we do, so you hang on, okay? Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard, thanks for being here today.
Sure.
A fun program.
Yeah, it was.
It flew by.
It did. Always does.
We'll be here tomorrow again at the same time for another edition of Basic Gospel. If you have questions, we would love to hear from you tomorrow. In the meantime, we encourage you to check out our website at basicgospel.net. If you're a new listener, you'll find out all kinds of information about what this ministry is all about. Well, we'll see you tomorrow for another edition. So long.